Okay, so if you have no more questions for Garrett, you're off the hook. You can go on.
You guys have talked about the project grading.
Okay, so remember that the project B is due on end of this month, October 30th. Okay, and the description is up on the web. I put it up on the as a assigned project. Now, regarding this, did everybody get one of these to fill? This is the survey things. Okay, make sure you get one. And I need a volunteer who would, since you guys are going to write it in your handwriting, and I don't necessarily want to find out who wrote what. I want a volunteer who's going to collect these and send me like a, what you would be, volunteer? Okay, so this guy, I don't know him. I do actually know him, I know his name. But I haven't paid him yet. So you should all return it to him, and you can write whatever you want other than the comments, the questions that I asked. And then what he's going to do is he's going to essentially summarize the statistics. And also if there are any comments, he'll just type them and send it to me. And then what he sends it to me, I'll send it to you. And then if there's anything to be discussed, we'll discuss. Otherwise, you'll be fine. Okay? So that's the deal. So feel free to, if there is things that is bugging you that you want to say and you did not, I didn't ask you that question already, make sure that you just say it and then give it to him. Okay, any questions? Okay. So, what we were discussing last time was what we were discussing last time was how PageRank matrix, PageRank can be thought of as essentially a Markov chain, and Markov chains will have stationary distributions, right? Markov chains will have stationary distributions under certain conditions, in particular aperiodic and irreducible. And what it means as far as we are concerned is there better not be any disconnected components in the graph for which you are computing the stationary distribution. And we explain, can anybody explain to me why if you have disconnected components, what happens? No, but I mean, think of, so you're thinking of this as Markov chains, right? And Markov chains have stationary distribution, which should be time invariant at some point of time. So from that point of view, if there are disconnected components, exactly what goes wrong?
I mean, if you start with the initial point and it gets time in a particular disconnected graph, it will be different for
exactly. So the basic idea is that depending on where, what the initial probability vector is, you know, if you actually started in one, if you're more likely to start in one component than the other, then you'll never get out of that component. Okay? So depending on the time you compute the stationary distribution, it's different. So it's not a single stationary distribution. Then it's not unique. That's the point. And if it's not unique, that means there are different notions of importance. And we talked about that as a problem, because if you keep changing your mind as to who is important, then nobody will trust you. Okay. So what we wound up doing is we talked about basically to stop the disconnected components. In essence, really, it's enough to just do one thing, which is from every node, make sure that there is a non-zero probability of going to every other node. So you make these virtual links of low weight from every node to every other node. And then the real links have high weight. Okay, but we wind up doing it normally in two different phases. Phase one, basically this part, all it is doing is for any node in the graph that's a sync node, that means it's taking links, but there are no links coming out of that node. Okay, just make sure that it's not a sync node. And the way you decide to do it, in fact, many things can be done to make sure that it's not a sync node. The thing that we would do is we'll assume that if it's a sync node, then it actually can transfer to any other node in the graph with 1 over n probability, where n is the number of nodes in the graph. Okay? Now, if you do this, after you do this, so the Z matrix essentially, so M matrix, let's say if you have a graph like this, M matrix like is this. Okay? Now the Z matrix for this particular thing, is there a Z matrix which is non-zero? So are there any sync nodes here? In this graph there are no sync nodes. So Z matrix for this graph is a zero matrix. Had there been a sync node, then it would be, let's say for example, you don't have this link. So everybody comes into C, nothing is getting out of C. Okay? Then Z matrix would be a matrix of zeros except this column. And this column would be 1/3, 1/3, 1/3. Okay? So that's what you would know, 1/4, 1/4, 1/4, basically. Okay? So you can also go back to yourself or you can go to any of the other nodes. Yes? Why not?
From C to C.
Why not? I mean, no, a transition can be to just stay back. Markov chains allow that. There's nothing wrong. That doesn't kill you. As long as you have a chance of escaping a node, that's good enough. Okay? Again, it's not actually extremely important whether we did 1/3 or 1/4. But I do want to say that 1/4 doesn't kill the world. You know, in fact, it's simpler to just think in terms of 1 over n, where n is the total number of nodes. What you would have to do is 1 over n minus 1. And there's no real difference. Okay? So that's Z, which is basically 1 over n for all the sync pages. So it's a column of 1 over n for just sync pages alone, and basically zeros for every other page. Okay? Now having done this, at this point, can you be sure that there are no disconnected components? At this point, you know that there are no sync nodes. Do you now know that there are no disconnected components? So you should be able to realize that you could still have multiple components. So for example, I could have a cyclic component somewhere, which is mostly, I mean, there's a component where, you know, it's only pointing to nodes in that itself. Okay, none of them are sync nodes. And there is a sync node in another component, so you can go from here to there, but you don't go out of there to here. Okay, so this in itself doesn't do it. Okay, now, but there is this one, what we are doing here is actually, it's motivated in two different ways. Okay. One idea is that you want your, you can think of this, what you're doing here as reset distribution. That is, if you have a random surfer who once in a while gets impatient and just basically transitions to any random page, okay, so what you want to capture here is with C probability or epsilon probability, with C probability they will do what the page is telling them to do, and with 1 minus C probability, they will do something random. Okay, now that random thing, basically what we are doing is, this K matrix will tell you, based on the node you are in, what does it mean for you to do random things? Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, one reasonable thing to do is to just say, irrespective of the node you are in, you would go to any other node, including this node, with 1 over n probability. That's like a purely uniform randomness. Okay, you have to remember that random doesn't necessarily mean uniform random. We talked about this, right? I mean, there were random social networks which are uniform random social networks, and there were power law social networks. Random doesn't mean just one random. Okay, what I'm talking about here is uniform random reset. So irrespective of where you are, you have the exact same probability of transitioning yourself to any one of the n nodes, including just staying here. That's the simplest idea you would start with. Okay, but you can also keep this in mind, because it turns out that the research matrix is one thing that you can play around with, such that you can get all sorts of different semantics for the notion of importance that you're computing. Okay, if your random surfer basically is doing this, that means he or she doesn't have any particular interest. You know, they just, you know, if they're not doing anything, they're likely to go to any page in the world with equal probability. Suppose your random surfer is not so random after all, he or she is a sports nut. Then, if they're not doing anything, you know, if my son is not doing anything, he will be on MLG page, which is, you know, for those of you who care about it, is some sort of a major league gaming page or something, and that's all he cares about. So his random reset, when I don't see him anywhere, he's staring at MLG page. But that's his random reset. Okay, he does not go with 1/n probability to every possible page in the world. He never ever goes to a physics page, for example, right? So there is, different people have different random bias distributions. I mean, it's not exactly only MLG, he may once in a while do CNN or something, but for him, it's a different random distribution. For you, maybe it's a different random distribution. They're random, but they're not uniform random. Okay, so if I want to capture a user-specific page rank, I can change the reset matrix for just that user. If I want to capture a topic-specific page rank, I can change the reset matrix such that for the pages belonging to that topic, there is a higher chance that you would randomly transition to them, and for the other ones, there's a lower chance. If you want to consider a reset where people will basically, if they're not doing anything else, they want to go to trustworthy pages. Then you set the reset page such that higher trustworthy pages will have higher probability that you would go there, lower trustworthy pages will have lower probability that you will go there. Now, you have to ask yourself, how do I decide trust? We'll talk about that. But I gave you a nice lever that you can manipulate to change the semantics of page rank. If you do 1/n as the reset matrix, which is what we'll discuss in the beginning, it just basically for a random surfer who has no specific interest. But if a random surfer has a particular topic in mind, you can change the K to reflect that. If they're more likely to be trust-oriented and they have some notion of what sites they trust, you can change the K for that. What's more, if you want, for example, there is this other problem for all these link-based importance measures that we talked about, which is if a great site comes into being like today, you'll never see it in the top 2,000 pages because nobody yet put a link to it. Right? Now, if you want to, actually, there is this whole point about exploration-exploitation trade-off. If you don't see parts of the world, you will never know whether or not they're good. Okay, so in fact, you know, it makes a lot of sense to, with some probability, go for recently generated pages. So that if people see them, then they may start putting links to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? How do I change this? I can change K, such that there's a little more probability for recent pages than for old fuddy-duddy pages. Now notice that I'm not saying everybody just goes to the recent pages. I am only changing the K, and with only 1 minus C probability, which is a small probability to begin with, the user would do this. And with C probability, they would just follow the link matrix. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, K is best thought of as really a reset matrix, but if in fact K has 1/n everywhere, okay, then just doing K and even not doing Z will get you the total matrix which has no more disconnected components and no sync nodes, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? But you normally think in terms of this as taking care of the sync nodes and this together as taking care of both the reset probabilities and also no more disconnected components. Okay? So that's the point. So if you do that, then you got an M star matrix, which is sort of a suitably modified link matrix. I mean, it's not link matrix. I mean, of course, anytime you're talking about M here, you're talking about the probability of transition. And there is a simple way of changing the link matrix into probability matrix. We talked about it. You know, the assumption is all links are equal probability. Okay, you can even change that, by the way. If you want, you can also say links which are in H2 get bigger weight than links which are in normal text, or links which are in the footnote get lower probability. But the simplest thing to do is, if there are 15 links from this page, give them all the same probability. Okay? So this is the slide that you want to get to if you ever are in question about basically what we did to the matrix M, what we did to the matrix M so that it will become both aperiodic and irreducible, which essentially means no disconnected components. Okay? And this basically, in this small print, says exactly what I just told you. Okay? And then in terms of actually computing M star, you compute M star by adding Z to M and then multiplying that by C, and then taking a K matrix, which is a reset matrix, multiplying that by 1 minus C, adding them up. You get one M star matrix. And we spent a lot of time talking about the fact that K is the reset distribution of the surfer, and it's a great thing to tweak so that you can change the semantics of the page rank. And in fact, we will see, I told you already, like, five different things. You can use it to improve, talk about trust rank. You can use it to talk about topic-specific page rank. You can use it to talk about recency-oriented page rank. All of these are, people have come up with ideas for papers on this. So if you ever want page rank which takes certain extra property into account, the first place you would look at is, how do I tweak K? Okay, and you have to understand why it makes sense, because normally the way we set K, it's uniform random. Random is fine, but uniform random is not necessarily fine. That means you don't know anything whatsoever about this user. Okay, but if they have any biases at all, then you may want to take that into account. Okay. So that's whatever I said there is said here, and then I'll repeat it in terms of specific implementations of trust rank and topic-specific page rank. Those two things we'll talk about. Okay, so this is M for this matrix, and if you actually do 0.8 times M plus Z, assume that C is 0.8, then that means the probability, 80% probability, the user follows the links on the page. And 20% probability they basically reset themselves. You can play with these numbers, okay? This shows how easily the user is going to be resetting themselves, okay? Obviously, by changing these numbers, you would change the notion of importance. I mean, the exact numberings would be different, okay? There's nothing you can do about it. Most people, I think, Google probably uses like 0.8, 0.2 has been tried several places. 0.9, 0.1 is just as fine. Okay. Again, this is why you have to remember that what matters is not so much that you know exactly what is the right ranking, but that you're not going to change your mind. Okay. There are many, many rankings that are reasonable. As long as you're not particularly bad, like you don't say your page is the most important page in the entire whole world consistently, then people will not believe you. But if you kind of say reasonable ranking of the pages, obviously the exact order would change based on, how you set the Z, how you set the K, how you set the 0.8 and 0.2. Okay. But stability is guaranteed, because given those parameters, there are not going to be any disconnected components. And so there is sort of a unique stationary distribution, and more or less are going to get to that. Okay. So in this particular case, Z is a zero matrix because it doesn't have any sync nodes, okay? And then what else? We basically do have to add the K matrix. I'm assuming that I'll just do 1 over N, okay? And there are what? 1, 2, 3, 4 nodes. So 1 over 4 everywhere, okay? And then that's being multiplied by 0.2 and added to this being multiplied by 0.8, and you would get this. You can check that. Okay? That matrix, if you do your power iteration, on that matrix, you would get the stationary distribution, which is the page rank. Okay, the higher probability ones, you're more likely to go to them. The lower probability ones, you're less likely to go to them. The bigger the probability, the more important the page. Okay, and in general, in fact, since all of these are going to be numbers less than one, and people don't know how to deal with decimal numbers, what they normally do is they take logarithms, okay, and they essentially talk in terms of, in the Google, for example, talks in terms of page rank 10 to 1. So scale it up. Okay, but ultimately, underlying measure is the distribution, stationary distribution over the Markov chain that you defined. Question? Yes?
So, K will have, so for a particular page, K can have different values?
What do you mean?
Like, you said that K can be tweaked in the kind of a, that is like
if K is anything you want to do. So, for example, here is the thing, right? Importance should depend upon the query and the user. In the best case, it should depend upon the query and the user. Okay? So you could, if you feel like, have a separate K for each query and each user. Okay? You won't do it, because if you do that, then what happens? Essentially, you need one page rank computation for every query user pair. It's too costly. Way, way too costly. But on the other hand, when you do this and you do pre-computation, in fact, we'll talk about next minute that, you know, the normal way page rank approach has been used has been to compute the page rank on the web matrix rather than on the base set derived from the query. So it's normally done offline rather than online. And if you do it offline, in essence, you are saying one size fits all. It doesn't matter what the query is. It doesn't matter what the user is. There is only one notion of importance for every page. Clearly, it's hard to tolerate, but that's exactly what happens right now. Okay? That's exactly what happens. I mean, there is 10 important pages, and there may be some pages which are like the best pages in sports-related news. They never, I mean, for example, think of, there are pages that are like the very best pages in, you know, partial differential equations. These are like all the partial differential equation people are pointing to these pages. You think there's any chance that it will raise up to 10 rank? Zero chance, because, you know, there are not that many geeks in the world, right? And so nobody is putting enough links to that. Okay, if on the other hand, you computed a topic-specific page rank where topic is mathematics, then this page can have a very high page rank. And the way you would do that is, in that case, one way you could have done it is you do it by changing the reset distribution such that if you're doing nothing, if you're a mathematician, you're more likely to look at math pages than non-math pages. That's the assumption. Okay? So there are two extremes. One is just compute page rank once, which is what is being done right now. Okay? And why is Google getting away with it? Because the competition sucks and the customers are gullible. Okay, and nobody really expects too much. Okay, but obviously on the other extreme is you compute this for each query and the user pay, that will be too costly. But there are middle grounds. We'll talk about some of them. Okay. Other questions? Okay, so if you are computing the page rank on the entire web matrix, there are two issues. One, of course, is web matrix is 8 billion by 8 billion size. And exactly how do you put it in your little laptop and compute it? Okay, how do you do a power iteration? There are actual engineering issues. We will talk about that at the very end of this discussion. Okay, for example, you want to make sure that the link matrix is not, I mean, the entire link matrix is not going to fit in the main memory, right? And the question is, how do you put the link matrix such that at least the parts of it that you need for the next 5 minutes are going to be in the main memory. So you split the link matrix into blocks, almost in the same way you split the inverted index into blocks. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the same exact idea. You know, the disk is a bad guy. You don't want to get to disk. And so you want to split it in such a way that these pieces can be kept in main memory, and then you work on blocks and then, you know, combine them. That's what we did for the inverted indexing, remember? We'll do that for the page rank too. That's a big issue. It is an important issue, okay? Normally page rank and the website matrix, even after all the efficiency issues, I think there is a paper that I have linked. You know, there are papers for each of these topics that I have linked from the readings. Basically, I think back in 1999 time frame, it used to take, you know, a month versus only 2 days to compute the entire page rank. Okay, because these are huge matrices. But then since 1999, we have figured out more about how to organize the matrix, you know, such that you do as much computation as possible in memory. But you also have increased the size of the matrix. Okay, page rank is not being recomputed every evening by Google, for example. Okay, that's one issue. We'll talk a little about this towards the end of this entire discussion. The second issue, even more immediate, is if there is one importance for each page, right, and you give a query, and the importance doesn't depend upon the query at all. So how do you make sure that for every page, you just don't keep giving Google as the answer? And you'll get into a recursive loop then. You know, you ask a query, Google is the first page, because Google is the, you know, 10 importance page. And then so you ask Google again, it will give itself the page, and, you know, you can have fun, right? This is not going to go anywhere. So how do you make sure? There isn't really any natural answer, okay? What you wind up doing, you say W times similarity. Remember the similarity that we used to talk about long back? Which is the vector space similarity between the query and the document that we completely ignored for now, but it comes back. W times similarity between the query and D plus 1 minus W times the rank. Okay, now what is W? It's the fudge factor. So this is basically apples, this is oranges, and you are combining apples and oranges using a weight factor. Okay, that's exactly what you're doing. If there is no semantics whatsoever to this combination. Okay, the only thing they do is if similarity is zero, then you won't combine. You'll just say it's zero. So there is a minor semantics. In the sense, if this particular page has no similarity to the query, you won't give it. You know, even if it has a very high page rank. But that's only going to, even if it has, let's say, 0.0001 similarity, but has 10 page rank versus 0.3 similarity, other than 0.7 similarity, and 0.0001 page rank, what are you going to do? What's the right thing to do? That's the point. I mean, the sense that if New York Times writes anything about information retrieval, suddenly it becomes more important than anything I write on my page. Right? Because everybody goes there, and then whatever they say, that's why, you know, we hope that they don't actually say wrong things. But if they say anything, that will become rule. Okay, and that more or less is going to be captured by that, essentially. Okay, so this is the only escape clause, that if you have zero or very low similarity, then you would not do that, you would not consider the page rank anymore. Okay, if this makes you cringe, this bothers you, it should. If it doesn't, then I don't know what to say. Okay, it's just combining apples and oranges with an alpha factor. Okay, but the advantage of doing this is you only do page rank computation once for web metrics, once in a couple of weeks or so, maybe a couple of months, maybe once a year. And you don't need to do anything new when the query comes, other than just compute the query similarity. What we really want, of course, is also to compute the query similarity beforehand for all the queries, so that you don't have to do even that, okay? Because that would be even faster. But you know, right now we still compute the query similarity the way we discussed in the previous classes, and then you have a stored page rank for each page to combine them. Okay, who among you have the highest page rank page? Have any of you have pages, first of all? Have you seen what your page rank is? What? He got 4. That's very good. What's yours? What?
Where to check the page rank?
You can go check the page rank. Oh, where do you check the page rank? Oh, come on, give me a break. Go find out. I mean, Google is like falling on your feet, saying, "Could I please look at all your, you know, personal history so that I can also tell you what your page rank is?" So when you put your Google bar, you can click something whereby it knows what you're doing, and you have their noble word that they won't give it away to, you know, Justice Department later on. But in, you know, and as a result of this, you selling your soul, they'll give you your page rank. You know, so for every page, they can show the page rank. So what I do is I basically do it on a different Internet Explorer, which I don't use. For that, I have the page rank with this advanced page rank thing, which I never use. So they still don't know what I'm searching for. But I can use that. Okay. There was a question. No, if you have a web page, then your web page will have a page rank, right? Because you're computing web graph. I mean, assuming that Google ever crawled your page, then it would be part of the web graph, and. Yeah. In fact, you know, there are a lot of other things that go on than just this. Right? For example, in fact, Google is no longer really using just this. This is a nice thing to teach, you know. But there are many other aspects that are used in the ranking. Okay? Including, for example, you know, the topicality. For example, if there's many accessors, they have information on that, and they can combine it. Once you have sold your soul and decided there is no semantics to this thing that you're cooking up anyway, it's alpha times apples plus 1 minus alpha times oranges here. So why not alpha 1 times apples plus alpha 2 times watermelons plus alpha 3 times eggplants and so on. And that would be one more different ranking. And you can see whether it's working well or not by essentially doing cross-validation studies. So that's one other thing that, in fact, we can mention this here. One of the things all these search engines do is with some probability, they will take a user and show them different results, okay, based on a different ranking metric. You won't know that you're being subjected to this kind of guinea pig thing, right? And then they basically check how many of the top ranks those users clicked versus the normal user shown the normal ranking click. And if they wind up choosing more of the top ranked pages according to that ranking than the normal user for the same sort of queries, then that ranking, that new ranking, is a better one. So then it becomes the old ranking. And then they'll improve it again. That's basically what gets done. Okay? So nobody ever does a separate focus group. It's just you are your users, you are also the focus group. Okay, that's basically what gets done in the search engine. Okay. So the thing that I do want to make sure that you guys understand, and you know, we already talked about it last class too, is even though PageRank is described as if it is computed once and for all, and then you add it alpha times PageRank plus 1 minus alpha times similarity, whereas AuthorityPub is described as if it is computed with respect to a query, that's a secondary difference, and you can actually pick and choose. You can either decide to think in terms of authorities and hubs or stationary distribution. Okay, or you can, and then an independent decision is either you can decide to compute these measures with respect to a base set expanded to include forward and backward pages, or you can combine apples and oranges the way Google does. Okay, so that's a spectrum. In the spectrum, basically the one that, you know, that Google uses is this and this, and the way AuthorityPub did is this, but that doesn't mean anything. You could do anything in between. Okay. Okay, any questions? Yes.
In
page rank,
we have the probability with which the user will end up on that page. So
isn't
page rank giving more importance to authorities than
hubs? It's a good point, yes. I mean, that's the kind of questions that you have to ask yourself. Yes, basically. I mean, PageRank is more related to authority-ness than the hubness. And in fact, sometimes you will wind up needing hubs, and we'll talk about today, if we get through that, I think we are likely to get to it, it's only 2:15. When we talk about trust rank, there is a question of how to propagate trust, and then you need some seed pages from which you propagate trust, and the good seed pages are the good hub pages. But if you're a page rank person, you don't want to talk about hubs, right? There is sort of a, you know, teams, you know, page rank team and the authority sub team. And so instead you make your own rediscovery, you know, reinvent the wheel, and there is this reinvented wheel called inverted page rank, which just basically computes hubs separately. Think about this. Okay, take the web graph, change the direction of all the arrows. Now compute the page rank. What is that giving you? It's giving you hubness. I mean, not exactly, but it's giving more importance to hubs. So since you reinvented the term, you get to call it inverted page rank instead of just saying hub. You know, but that's one of the things I really hope you will do, is when you read new ideas, new papers, you always have to connect it to something that you know. And you always, if you read a paper at all, always assume that the author is lying. You know, not in a really bad sense, but in a, you know, you have to be skeptical, because everything put in LaTeX and printed looks good, right? And so you have to ask yourself, they are just bozos like you and me. And so you have to ask yourself, what exactly are they trying to get past you? You know, and when you know where the ideas come from, you know, you have a bigger, I mean, instead of looking at each idea and be surprised, oh my God, that's a great idea, if you know where the ideas come from, you can get more of them from that place. Okay, so that's very important. Okay, other questions? So a couple of things about PageRank. One is, of course, that while PageRank has, I mean, so remember, the importance is, you know, importance should be reasonably stable with respect to adversarial changes on the web graph. This was something that we talked about, right? So, and if you are computing page rank once and for all for the entire web, and you keep it for like a month or two, there is humongous commercial interest in making sure that your pages have high page rank. And if there's commercial interest, you can change the link structure of the web by talking to your friends and asking them to point to you, you pointing to them, and it would change the importance measure that you're computing. So the question, of course, is page rank actually going to be any more robust with respect to this kind of changes to link structure? In fact, what's interesting is authorities hubs, which in the standard form is less stable because it did not talk about disconnected components right away, but it can be changed so that it can take into account the disconnected components, as I told you last time. It turns out that is actually more robust with respect to adversarial changes. Again, look at the parallelism. When we talked about social networks, right, we talked about uniform random versus scale free. One of them is more robust with respect to random changes. The other is more robust with respect to attacks. These are different things. Do you understand what I'm saying? So authorities hubs is more robust, less robust with respect to random changes, at least the way it was given. And you know, when you reduce the disconnected components by putting these leakage edges, then it becomes more stable with respect to random changes. But there is another type of changes that happen on the web, which is people trying to subvert the importance measure because it's important, right? So the question is, what do you know? How, to what extent is a importance measure affected by that sort of adversarial thing? Okay. And one thing we can say is, if you do importance computation for each query, upfront you're going to be more robust than if you do importance computation for the entire web once in every 2 months or 2 years. Agreed? Because there's only one number that I need to change. Whereas if I'm computing importance, if the search engine is computing importance computation with respect to each query, then I need to basically, you know, play with many, many different numbers. Because the base set for each query would be different. So the overall matrix for each query would be different, and whatever I'm trying to sabotage, I have to sabotage with respect to that particular base set and the extended matrix. So you heard it here that, in fact, random change versus adversarial change are different. You know, and in fact, adversarial change, the query-specific ranks are more robust compared to entire web page rank. Since we are doing entire web page rank in the page rank, let's look at what happens. If you have something like this, A and C and B, and here, of course, C and B decided to become friends, and they put an extra link to each other. Okay, that's all they did. Now notice there are no disconnected components, there are no sync nodes, right? So the question is, what would the page rank look like? By the way, if you do direct M on this, you know, stationary distribution is not well defined because it's not a periodic, it's a big cycle. But I'm doing M star for both of them, okay? I'm assuming for M star, I'm assuming alpha equal to 0.8 and K equal to 1 over 3 matrix, okay? So if I compute for this, and then I do the ranks, okay, here everybody has basically, by the way, these numbers, I made a mistake at the time when I did this, I shouldn't have done it. Basically these, if you square root and square, they add up to 1. Really you should be just 0.333 because it's supposed to be probability, right? Okay, so here they're all going to be having the same probabilities, and here these two guys suddenly become much more important compared to these guys, just because they ganged up on him. Okay, now this is a small matrix. You could do this on web scale. Okay, all the people in ASU start, you know, pointing to University of Arizona people, University of Arizona people point to ASU, and suddenly we both would be higher up in the US News and World Report rankings. That would be nice, right? So what do you do? So by referring to each other, a cluster of pages can artificially boost their rank, although the cluster has to be big enough to make an appreciable difference. Obviously, it has to be big enough with respect to the page size. Okay, so a solution, of course, to stop this from happening is to put a threshold on the number of intra-domain links that count. For example, one solution that was tried. Okay, and a counter solution for that is buy two domains and generate clusters among them. Okay, in fact, even worse, there was this page farm companies which will buy a huge number of domains, densely connect them, so they are like glowing with rank. Right? And then you pay them money, they'll touch you. So their rank flows to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is called Page King. There used to be, you know, one commercial server called Page King, which used to do this. Okay? So now when Google finds out or when search engines find out, what do? They to heck with computer science. Every once in a while, we'll just change the index. We'll manually change the page rank. Okay, so this guy, Page King guy, suddenly found, you know, the day before, his entire farm had close to 9 page rank. The day after, he had 0 page rank. And then he tried to argue with them that, didn't you write a dub-dub-dub paper that you're going to be truthful in the way you compute, even though I get to be untruthful in the way I make the web? And they said, no, to heck with you. And so there's a solution, which is you sue Google. That too has been done. Okay? I mean, how can you in a capitalist society stop people from making money? It makes no sense, right? So this guy said, you know, I'm sure his senator or his congressman said, these guys are from Ohio, there is no search engine company there. I'm sure they put up a good fight. But thankfully in that particular case, that suit was lost, and you know, Google prevailed. But the important thing is in that case, PageKing was obvious because it was putting advertisements saying, you know, you just pay us some money and we'll put a little link from us to you. Basically, we touch you. It's like that alien touching you, you know, in that ET. And suddenly, you start glowing, right? And that's what they were doing, in essence. You know, I mean, whenever I think of PageKing, I think of this in winter, you do, you know, you rub your feet on the carpet and go touch people. That's basically, in some sense, they're increasing their page rank and they're going to touch everybody who pays them money. That thing is good. And there's a mathematical basis for that, exactly what's going on. As long as their farm is big enough, they can increase it. Now, it may not be worth it for your page, but if there is commercial interest, because the more accesses to your page, the more you're getting money. Now, of course, Google isn't exactly doing stuff for the good of the world. You know, what they were interested in is that they were losing money. They want these bozos to pay money such that they will come in the Google ads, so that they will pay money to be placed high up. right? Instead, they're paying less money to PageRank, the page farm guys, and coming up high enough in the top 10 results. And that's not good. Okay? But this is not going to end. This is not going to end. Okay? Anything which has commercial interest, it's a good arms race. So, of course, right now there's a little bit of a stalemate. You know, they tried to sue Google. I mean, this is already 4 years back. And they tried to sue Google and they lost. But there are many other of these things which are not saying, I mean, they're not advertising widely on NBC or anything, saying we will increase your page rank. Okay? But there are enough such companies which will do something, and, you know, it's just the way it is. So currently there is a term for this in the people whose life it is to improve the page rank of their customers, blah, blah, blah. You know, even if they don't do anything in life, you just want to increase their page rank. Fake importance. Remember, whenever you have an importance, there is usefulness for increasing importance by fake measures. One of the things that the only way that's really being taken care of right now is by this thing called Google Dance, which is, you know, Google going and saying, okay, this guy seems to be suspicious. Let's make this guy's page rank zero. Okay? Heck with the JSEM, I mean, heck with the www.98 paper where we said we'll never do such a thing. Okay? That's okay. You know, we'll just do. And in fact, we really don't know how they are ranking at all. And in fact, people have actually argued that, you know, to the extent Google search engine is so important now, they should make the way they combine things into an arbitrary rank public. After all, US News and World Report, which ranks the graduate schools, tells people exactly what metrics they use and what weights they use. It's Freedom of Information Act, right? And of course, Google has not yet done that till now. Okay, search engines haven't done that yet, but it's not at all obvious that they can hold indefinitely to the extent this becomes like the most important measure of importance of a page. It's going to be a problem. If on the other hand, technology goes forward, that there are many, many notions of importance and Google is just yet another search engine, it's not a problem. Okay? So that's all I would say about page farms and increasing page ranks and, you know, what you can do about it. You know, but I should add, I'm sure I'll go back and add the point that if you do rank computation for one entire web graph at one time, you are asking for trouble. Because there's only one number, and people will try to get that number be different. If you do it with respect to queries, obviously you are not asking for trouble, but neither would you answer any queries. Right? Because after they send the query, they compute the base state, and then you extend this, and come back in 2 days, I'll give you great results. And, you know, that's the problem. So. Okay, so page rank variants. I already mentioned to you, you should not be surprised by now, that there's a lever that you can play around with. There's a little, thing, and that can be changed, the reset distribution, to get a variety of different semantics to page rank. Previously, PageRank was just a stationary distribution for any random surfer who does uniform random transition between pages when they're bored. Okay, and so there are many variants, one of which is topic-specific PageRank, which essentially can be thought of as a middle ground between one-size-fits-all PageRank and a query-specific PageRank, where rather than think of query for each query a separate PageRank, what you do is you take the query and say this query is about one of these 28 topics. For each of these 28 topics, I have a separate page rank. If this query is about page, you know, topic 20, then I use the page rank for the 20. In fact, you can do it even more interestingly. What you would do is you would take the query and you say, here is the probability that this query belongs to each of these topics. And those probability numbers add up to 1. So you're classifying the query into topics. Okay? The classification can just be what's the most likely class or what's the distribution on the classes. And if you compute the probabilities and, you know, they all add up to 1, right? Now you have this query is 0.8 this topic, 0.1 this topic, 0.005 this topic, 0.005 this topic, the rest all 0. Now what I do is I take the page rank for this topic multiplied by 0.8, page rank for this topic multiplied by 0.2, and blah, blah, blah. Do you understand what I'm saying? All of these are papers. You can write papers like this. And you know, the only thing is, of course, after you get this idea, you need to show that in a large enough scale matrix you have done experiments.
That's what cool does.
What?
That's what cool does. The way that cool things are taken structured and search results, it has hierarchical.
Yeah. But this is a very old idea though. I mean, cool is now doing it. Google isn't doing it because nobody really needs. In fact, I like search engines giving competition to Google. Because, you know, I mean, Google gave me shirts to wear and they gave me money, you know, I'm happy. But I still don't like any single company being at such a high position because it kills any need for innovation. Okay, the advantage, of course, is the guys who started cool are the guys who are from Google, who got sick and tired of it. The food can only taste good for so long. And, you know, Google food is good. I've been there. But you know, after a while, you realize that it's not worth it, and so you start your own company. And then there is at least a reason. Of course, most of the time what happens is Google is likely to buy up these guys. Okay, but at least a reason for the big company to actually start worrying about something other than one size fits all. Because if there is no competition, why do I need to improve anything? Okay. So that's the topic-specific page rank. I'll show you a slide about that. Trust rank. Is another thing where idea basically, so this topic-specific page rank can be thought of as a middle ground between one-size-fits-all page rank and query-specific page rank. So you're talking about query class-specific page rank, where query class is a topic. Do you understand? And trust rank can be thought of as a middle ground between one-size-fits-all page rank and a user-specific page rank, except instead of users, individual users, you think of populations of users who tend to trust certain types of sites. Right? I mean, if you are in a war with some country, let's say, okay, their newspaper is your enemy, so you don't want to trust their newspaper. And your newspaper is their enemy, so they don't want to trust your newspaper. But both of them are extremely important. Page rank will say 0.5 for this, 0.5 for this. That's missing the point. So if you really want to just keep hearing only one side of the story, which is what all of us are so interested in, you know, you really want a trust-based page rank where the trust is the ones that you trust. And obviously you trust your country and not their country. And so, you know, you can make automated way in which people can continue to be, you know, in that. But in general, you can also say trust rank. If everybody trusts some sites more than other sites, then, you know, that can be mentioned right there too. So, but it's useful to think of it as middle ground in this spectrum, user versus all together. Okay, so here is the origin where one size fits all. This is, as you go to this end, it's for every query there is a separate page rank. And if you go to that end, for every user there is a separate page rank. And this one is going in the y-axis, this one is going in the x-axis. That's the way to think about it. And then recency rank, you know, there's a different motivation. You want to combine exploration and exploitation. You know, the idea is you know some pages and their link structure with respect to which you can talk about what's the measure of importance. But the web is evolving, new pages are coming into being, and you want to suggest to people, both the new pages and the old pages, what matters is their relevance. And knowing that link analysis misses the point about, you know, link analysis misses the point about recency because recent pages are not going to have enough links. Okay, one idea is to, when you get tired, go more towards recent pages than existing pages. That's all. That too was a paper. Okay, and then you can write one more underneath this, some other page rank, and you know, and that too you can change the reset distribution. Okay, so let's talk about two ideas. I would not talk much about recency page rank. I'll talk about the topic specific and the trust rank. And that's pretty much what we'll have time for in today's class. Okay. So in the case of a topic-specific page rank, as I said, you wind up computing k page ranks instead of one page rank per page, where k is the number of topics. Okay. Now the question, of course, is who defines what are the topics of the world? Well, we do. Okay. Here is a site called DMoz, which is an open directory project. Okay, where people are collaboratively defining the top level directory of, you know, obviously libraries have always done that. You know, when you go into a library, they have decided, you know, there are only so many important top level subjects. Right? Similarly, here, you know, they have decided what are the top level important subjects. Okay. Now, this was in 2002. Okay. And it basically had about 52,000 editors, and it had about 460,000 categories, and these were the top level categories. Okay. The top level ones are too few enough, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then, you know, about 18, 20 categories. That's not too bad, so K equal to 20 now. And if you want to drill down, you can have even more. Okay. But I just before coming to the class, I took the snapshot of DMOAS as it exists today, and that's that. Okay, and it's not much different. The top level categories haven't changed that much. There are many more people, not many more, I mean, instead of 52,000, there are 81,000 people who are helping organize the knowledge. Okay, instead of 3.8 million sites, they have 4.6 million sites, and instead of 460 categories, there is only 590K categories. So the point is that the topics are generally are not going to change as fast, just because more pages come in. Okay, so it does make sense to think about K top level page ranks corresponding to K top level topics. Each of these could be topics. Arts rank for each of your pages. What's your arts page rank? What's your games page rank? What's your kids page rank? What's your reference page rank? What's your society page rank? What's your science page rank? And so on. Okay? Now, for each of those, so basically I have to compute one page rank for each of these topics, and for each of these topics, I have to set up a separate reset distribution, where in essence, when the user is sick and tired of the current page, they are, with uniform probability, go to one of the pages corresponding to that topic. Especially actually one of the hub pages corresponding to that topic. Okay? That's what you would do. Okay, in fact, you can go to these hub pages with the uniform probability at that time. And if you do that, then, you know, basically pages, so if you are a sciencey person, you are likely to go to one of the pages under the science with uniform probability. And very low probability for all other pages. That would be giving you an M star 1, you compute the page rank with respect to that, and that would be the science page rank for that page. And similarly, you can get all these other pages. Okay, now given a query, what you do now is you have to figure out what is the topic of the query. You need to classify the query into topics. There are many different ways of doing it. One simple way, for example, is you take, for each of the topics, you take these words and their synonyms, make them into bags. Query is a bag, this is a bag. You can do vector similarity between these bags and the query. Normalize the vector similarities across the topics. You'll see what is it more similar to, what is it less similar to. Okay, that's the classification of the query into these topics. Those are now the probabilities. Okay, so you multiply the probability that your query is an arts query times the arts page rank. Multiply the probability that the query is a games query times the games page rank. And that would give you the page rank, a topic specific page rank. If you knew exactly what the topic is for the query, you would actually would have picked only one of these. If you start off are not sure, it could be like 80% arts and 20% society, you would take 0.8 of the arts page rank and 0.2 of the society page rank. And it was a 2002 Haveli Wala, who I think now actually is in Cool, if I'm not mistaken, you know, who used to be in Google for a long time, and, you know, he did that. Okay, nice idea. Basically uses the same reset distribution. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is trust, and actually I'll make a slight digression and talk about in general trust in trust rank, basically, and, you know, we'll talk about trust in social networks and then come back to trust in page rank computation. And if I don't complete it today, I will complete it next class. Okay, so of course there's lots and lots of adversarial stuff going on the web. There is spam email, there are spam web pages, right? And so there is, you have to deal with this adversarial nature of the web. You can't just say I'm giving you the best ranking if there are no enemies in the world. But there are enemies in the world to the search engine. Okay, so the question of course is can we do trust propagation. The reason basically that's interesting is that the normal world that we live in is full of people that you may or may not be able to trust. But we don't give up. We don't assume that the world should be all our friends and they should say only good things. I was actually reading this extremely interesting article yesterday in New York Times as to how Alan Greenspan, Alan Greenspan was the Fed chairman for the longest time. And when he got out, just like Reagan, he got out at the height of the bubble. And then he was the guy, in fact, New York Times article points out that he was the guy who always supported derivatives trading and said government should not regulate it. I mean, of course, Obama wants you to think that McCain stopped it, or McCain wants you to think that Obama stopped it. The guy who really stopped it is Alan Greenspan, who was a libertarian, who hated government, right? And then he essentially made very good arguments as to why, you know, the system will take care of it. And he said, you know, you can trust, you know, Wall Street people. They're honorable people. Read the article. I'm not making this up, okay? So we don't do it. You don't do it when you go out, right? And apparently, Alan Greenspan thought it's a reasonable thing to do it at the world scale, okay? But the way we deal with it is we restrict our interactions to people we trust. And we compute trust indirectly, right? So basically, you know some people, you trust them, and if they trust somebody else, then you start trusting them, and trust is propagated. And so in fact, you can automate this. Okay, trust is so much part of the normal social networks, the one that you live in, that even things like knock-knock jokes don't make any sense if as soon as people knock on the door, you say, come in. You know, there's no knock-knock joke, right? So that's not good. So you have to say, Adwa, who? And then Adwa gets to say, Adwa, a million miles to see you smile. Actually, on a separate note, I think that there is an untapped market for foreign-accented people saying knock-knock jokes. I think it's just completely untapped. But the whole point there is you assume that if somebody knocks on the door, you ask who they are. And even after they say who, but what their name is, you still ask. You know, exactly who? Why should I trust you? Okay, just part of our life, okay? Now the question is, can we do it in the cyber world? Yes, we can propagate trust on these link matrices. Okay, and you can do it in terms of opinions, in terms of mails. There were some approaches, stupid approaches, I might add, but approaches all the same for spam mail detection, which would only allow you to get mails from people you trust. And if there's a new person that you never saw, then this middle guy will send a tough-sounding, lawyerly mail to you, the guy who sent the mail, saying, do you really want to waste my client's time? You know, identify yourself. Say something. And then so I never send a mail again. You know, but that's a different story. But the point there is they were using trust to figure out whether or not they should take this. It's a reasonable idea. Okay? We can also do this as a basis for computing the importance of pages. You shouldn't just care about the important pages across the web graph, but you should care about important pages among those that you trust. And trust is an orthogonal entity. Okay, and so the question, of course, is how do I propagate trust? How do I propagate trust? Actually, there is one page I seem to be missing here. Let me put that in. Oh, no, that's okay. That's fine. So what we are interested in is biasing the page importance computation so that it only counts the trusted site somehow. And the way you would do it essentially is if you have trust number for each of the pages in the web, you normalize that and set that as your reset matrix. So you're more likely to go to the high trustworthy sites for you than the less trustworthy sites. Yes?
Is that how search engines in other countries that censor web pages might go back to the
net? No. Search engines and other web pages censor web pages by yelling at Google and Yahoo. Okay, China, for example, censors. And Google essentially said, we will never do anything evil. And it turns out that what they meant is we never do anything evil as long as we are not going to lose any profit. Okay? So all that China had to do is thou shalt do it, you know, if you want to do business in our country. And that's it. So in fact, Tiananmen Square will give completely different results in China and in the rest of the world, for example. Okay? So there isn't, I mean, that's not exactly trust propagation. That is if I can do it, I would do that too, which is I would look at the world and say, I'm so important, you better not show my son anything bad. And if you do, I'm going to put you in jail. And the world will listen to me. But I'm not that important. Okay? If I control a country, I can do that. Okay? Currently, that's essentially what is done in when search engines change results. I mean, completely block results, that's the way it's done. Essentially, you know, Google has a separate index and a separate page rank computation for China than it does to the rest of the world. Okay. Trust rank idea is tweak the default distribution used in the page rank computation from uniform to trust-based. And then the idea, of course, is how do you compute the trust, initial trust for pages. Okay. It's very simple. You start with a set of seed pages that you like, and then you propagate trust from them to other pages that are connected to those pages. That's what you do in the real world. Okay? So for example, if you have a page link matrix like this, and these are the dark side guys, and these are the light side guys. Okay? Now obviously, dark side guys are not trusted by, let's say, light side people and vice versa. So if there is a light side guy asking a query, this is maybe an important page, but it's not a trustworthy page. And so it's a separate number, essentially. And what you would wind up doing is you would say, these two are highly trustworthy pages, let's say. And then you propagate trust from them to these guys, and these guys won't get as much trust because the assumption is trustworthy pages don't necessarily talk to untrustworthy pages. Which is, by the way, a very interesting point. I mean, this kind of goes back also to this article for Alan Greenspan I was talking about. One of the things that used to happen in economy is if there was a company which takes a risk that's more or less localized to that company. So if you don't like, for example, a company which gives certain type of mortgages, you just stop doing work with that company. But in fact, what derivatives did was to combine the risk and spread it to everybody, which essentially means that this is lost. The bad guys and good guys are all connected together now. But to the extent that doesn't happen, and that's more of a pathological thing than otherwise, what you need to do is start with some seed pages and propagate text, trust. Okay. Next class, what we'll do is we'll talk about reasonable ways of propagating trust. For example, we'll notice that if I have certain amount of trust and I have 15 pages connected to me, I will sort of split that to all the pages. And then also, if I am, you know, I trust my friend, and my friend trusts somebody else, I trust him a little less. And if my friend trusts this guy, this guy trusts this guy, this guy trusts this guy, then I trust this guy much less. So trust gets damped every time you go over a link by a factor beta. You do this, and you compute the trust propagation, and you get the trust numbers, and you put it in the matrix. The one thing that is trickier is if you distrust somebody, how does distrust propagate? Think about that. Trust is transitive. Trust is transitive. Distrust isn't, unfortunately. Okay? So in fact, most of the trust rank computations only propagate trust. They don't propagate distrust because nobody really knows what's the right way to propagate distrust. If I distrust you and you distrust that guy, probably I should trust him because you are my enemy. And you distrust him, so maybe he's my friend. But maybe you distrust him because of a completely different reason. So I should distrust him anyway. Right? I mean, the whole reason we say enemy of my enemy is my friend, and we don't say friend of my friend is my friend with any surprise, is because the latter is obvious, the former is not obvious. And still we do it. Just because enemy of my enemy, you know, becomes my friend. Okay? So distrust, we don't quite know how to propagate. Trust, we do know how to propagate. And we'll talk about how the trust rank works. And then I'll send you an important mail about a paper you have to read before you come to class next week. That's it. And make sure that all the surveys are given to this guy here.